Today's topic is Mechila. From both perspectives. That of asking forgiveness from people, and that of granting forgiveness to others. Let's begin with source number one. And again, if you don't have Maamar Komos, they're on the Shtender. Begin with source number one on the front side of the Maamar Komos. The Mishnah Masechet Yoma says as follows: Aveir shebein adam lamakom yom kippurim mechaper. If there are averos between man and the Ribono Shel Olam, if a person does tshuva, he can achieve kapara on Yom Kippurim. Averos shebein adam lechavero, ein Yom Kippurim mechaper ad sheiratzeh et chavero. But if there are averos between man and his fellow man, then you can do all the tshuva in the world with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you can say Hashem Nebagadnu Gazalnu Banadav. You can go through the whole litany and all the alchets, and you can really mean it. But you won't achieve kapara until you're mefayes chavera, chiratzet chavera, until you ask forgiveness and receive forgiveness from the person that you harmed. And to a certain extent, maybe even to a great extent, that's a little bit scary. Because it tells us that we can really feel a tremendous sense of remorse on Yom Kippur, but unless I've expressed that remorse to the person that I harmed and had them be mochel me, there's no Yom Kippur. There's no kapara for that. Yochai Shulchan points out that one doesn't have to wait for the last minute. In source number two, ube'emet gam b'chol ha'shana musar al zeh v'lo laniach al la'ach ha'zman d'mi yodei amayi v'oled yom. There's no din, you have to wait till Erev Yom Kippur to ask for forgiveness. It's available all year long. Do it any time. And it's a good idea to do any time. Because you never know what tomorrow will bring. You never know if you say, no, I'll ask forgiveness later. Later might be too late. But, he says, Ela de'erev Yom Kippur chov la'asod kei. On Erev Yom Kippur, Erev Yom Kippur doesn't necessarily mean specifically this coming Friday. It means this time of year, right? There's an obligation. Because this is our opportunity to achieve kapara, but there's something that we won't be able, that will hold us back, unless we take care of it before Yom Kippur. So if we haven't done it yet, to a certain extent, the next few days are our last chance before Yom Kippur. So how do I do? How am I meratza mechavera? What do I have to do? So let's say I broke the guy's window. I was playing baseball. Those of you from the United States might know what I'm talking about. Otherwise, I was playing soccer or football, whatever you want to call it. And anybody play cricket? And I broke the guy's window. So what do I have to do? So tell me, what do I have to do? I wanna get kapara. Second, can you close the doors? After he placed the window, what am I saying sorry for? Oh, very good. See, when I broke the guy's window, I need to work on two things. First of all, I caused him a monetary loss. He doesn't have a window. So I could just pay him the money. But that's really not enough. Why not, Judith?
Well, for that day that he didn't have the window, it was really cold in his house.
It's really cold in his house. And what else had to happen? He had to go out and buy a new window. He had to take off time. He had to speak to the glazier. They had to come and they had to measure and they had to this. So there's a lot to do. I remember when this was. A year ago, 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. Anyway, I was pulling out of the parking on Rehov Mordechai Yehudi. And I thought I was being careful, but I wasn't so careful. And there was a parked car, and I smashed, I wasn't going so fast, but enough to break his headlight and some other damage on the guy's car. So, okay, I left him a note, and he called me the next morning, and so we worked it out, and I paid him for the damage. But I realized that wasn't enough, so after I gave him the payment, he's a very nice fellow. I said to him, I have a request. He said, I asked for mechila because I caused him agmas nefesh. He had to go to the car repair place, and he had to do that, and it took off time. And Baruch Hashem, he was mochel me. But that's also part of what happens. Writing a check isn't always enough. That takes care of the monetary thing. Of course, the reverse isn't good enough either. You know, if I would have come and apologized profusely for damaging his car, but didn't pay him for it, that's also not enough. So, you have to take into account both things. Cause a monetary loss, pay for it. But if that also came with agmas nefesh, causing a guy pain and sorrow and running around and taking up his time, then you have to ask mechila for that as well. So let's say I didn't cause any monetary damage. What could I have done? Something else. What other aveiros ben adam lechaver other? What? I offended somebody. So what do I have to do? You offend that. I don't have to write him a check. So what do I have to do? I have to apologize for the offense that I caused. I either did something or said something, or maybe it's not what I did and what I said, but rather what I didn't do or didn't say that caused somebody some degree of offended the person. So I have to ask for mechila. I'll tell you a very interesting story. I thought it was an interesting story. Rabbi Fran tells this, Rabbi Krohn, in one of the Magid books, tells the following story. You probably have heard of the famous Tells Yeshiva. Maybe you did or didn't hear the film. Most of you have heard of the famous Tells Yeshiva. The Tells Yeshiva was originally located in the city of Tells in Lithuania. And the founder of the yeshiva was a great Talmud Chacham by the name of Reb Lazer Gordon. Founded the yeshiva in, I think, the late 1800s. Before the yeshiva in Tells was founded, there was another rav in the city of Tells. And that rav left Tells to become a rav somewhere else. And the people in Tells were looking for a new rav. The dayan in the city of Tells was a person by the name of Rav Abba Werner, who was a big Talmud Chacham. And Rav Abba Werner thought that he should be the leading candidate to take over as rav in Tells. For reasons that I don't know why, the people in Tells thought differently. And they didn't choose Rav Abba Werner as the Rav in Tells. They chose somebody else, a relatively young person by the name of Rav Lazer Gordon, and he became the Rav in Tells. Rav Abba Werner was very hurt by this. And a short time later, he left Tells. He went, I think, to become a Rav, if I remember correctly, in Finland, in Helsinki. And eventually, he moved to London. He became a rav in the city of London. Blazer Gordon comes into Tells and he's the rav. And one of the key elements of being a rav of a town is to be in charge of kashrus. And the main thing in those days to be in charge of kashrus, they didn't have factories and they didn't have restaurants, etc. What did you have to take charge of in terms of the kashrus? the shachtim. People who shachtim. So there was a there was some shochtim in Telz, and there was a veteran shochit there by the name of Rav Mendel Rappaport. And he was older, I think, than Rav Lazer Gordon. And he had been shechting for many years. So he was a big Yarei Shamayim. Rav Lazer Gordon came in, and usually when they come in, and you say, he starts checking up on the shochtim. And he starts checking up on Rav Mendel Rappaport's shechita and checking to make sure his knife is totally smooth and there are no nicks and looking into this. And Rav Mendel Rappaport was very hurt by this. Like, who does he think he is? I've been shechting for years. He's treating me as if I'm a novice shochet. So he was very upset. And at some point he left. And he also made his way to England. Stopping shochet, and he went into business. Years pass. In the meantime, Rav Lazer Gordon opens up a yeshiva and becomes the famous Telz yeshiva. And I think it's close, if my numbers are correct, I think it's close to 30 years pass. The yeshiva in Telz was in desperate need of money. I don't remember if there was a fire or not, but they were in desperate need of money. And although in the past, Rav Lazer Gordon, when he went collecting for the yeshiva, always used to stay in Eastern Europe and Russia, for some reason he decided this time he was going to try to collect elsewhere, places he hadn't gone before. So he decides to travel to England to raise money for the yeshiva. And he arrives in London, and he comes into shul to daven. And who's there in the shul? Rav Mendel Rappaport, the shochet. Mendel Rappaport immediately, despite the many years, recognized Rav Lazer Gordon. And he came over to him and he gave him a big shalom aleichem. And he says, you have a place to stay? And he says, well, I was looking. He says, come, you come to my house. And he had become a very, very successful businessman. And he comes and invites him to his house. And they sit and they start schmoozing and they're talking and reminiscing. And in the process of the conversation, Mendel Rappaport mentions, you know, years, decades earlier, when he first became Rav and he was insulted in there. And Rav Lazer Gordon was so taken aback. He said, really? I had no idea. I was just checking up on the shochtim. I didn't chas v'sholem mean to imply that you didn't know what you were doing. I thought that this was standard procedure. And he just, he says, please be mochel. Remember the Rappaport turned to him and says, I've been mochi for sure. Look, Baruch Hashem, I've been able to make a successful business and it's been better this way, and I can support stokos and I, you know, philanthropists and for my family, really, it's all turned out for the best. Of course I'm mochi. And he says to him, listen, you know, I want you to come meet the Chosh of a Rav in the town. Actually, you know him from Telz, Rav Abba Werner, with Bin Nadaya. Since he's a Rav here in London, and maybe he can help you raise money. So he brings them over to Rav Abba Werner, and they come, and the two great Talmidei Chacham, and they start talking in the Divrei Torah, and they're talking and talking. And in the process, you know, he asks them, why did you leave Telz? So Rav Abba Werner tells him, well, I thought that really I should have gotten the job. So I understood that they asked you and they didn't ask me, but I thought that the least you could have done was come and speak to me first, and maybe ask me permission, or talk to me, or... But you didn't. I was very hurt by that. So Rav Lazer Gordon said, "Oh, chas v'shalom, I didn't mean, I didn't chas v'shalom mean anything." He said, "Please be mochel me." And he says, "Yeah, yeah, mochel you, mochel." So he says, "Listen, they had a whole plan how they were going to on Shabbos. Rav Lazer Gordon was going to speak in shul, talk about the importance of the yeshiva in Telz, and then begin to raise money." So on Shabbos, Rav Lazer Gordon gives a fiery speech about the importance of the yeshiva in Telz. Rav Avruna there is coming and supporting him. But Rav Lazer Gordon never raises any money in England. Because on Motzoi Shabbos, Rav Lazer Gordon suddenly dies. And later people started to think, why? Why all of a sudden does Rav Lazer Gordon decide to go to England to raise money? He never went there before. And why is it that here he is and then he passes away? The answer is, some suggest, that it wasn't really his decision. Eliezer Gordon was a big tzaddik. But there were two people who he had inadvertently insulted. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give him a chance to ask for mechila. Because his time was up on this earth. But in order that before he passes away, he should get the mechila, the Kadosh Baruch Hu put in his mind, let him go to England. He made it that he ended up in the shul. Rav Mendel Rappaport David brought him over to Rabbi Werner, and the conversation in each case came. The Blazer Gordon did what he was supposed to do. He apologized, he felt bad, and they granted him a chila. And now he was able to leave this world in peace. So even when you insult somebody inadvertently, no matter how great of a tzaddik you are, or whatever it is, you have to be careful. Be careful about making sure to apologize. You tell the story about the Stipler. The Stipler was a great tzaddik here in Eretz Yisrael. If you've all heard of Reb Chaim Kanievsky, maybe you did, maybe you didn't, you will. Reb Chaim Kanievsky from Daybrak, his father was the Stipler, because he came from the town of Hornerstein. So he was the Stipler governor, brother of the Chazon Ish. So the story goes that there was a boy in Bnei Brak who was having a bar mitzvah. That night he became bar mitzvah. And he was having a bar mitzvah, so there were family and friends were there. All of a sudden, who walks in to the hall where they were having the fair? The Stipler. The father of the bar mitzvah boy jumps up. Can't figure out that the Stipler came to son's bar mitzvah. That he doesn't really know the Stipler. I mean, everybody knew the Stipler was, but what's he? He don't understand. Quickly runs over, Shalom Aleichem, and enter, come in, sit down. So he sort of asks, I don't know if he asked, or the Stipler said, you're probably wondering why I came. So he comes on the bar mitzvah boy, and the bar mitzvah boy sitting there, the Stipler gives him one of his svarim as a present. He says, I'll tell you why I came. It seems 2 years earlier, the Stipler was somewhere, and there were kids running around making noise. The Stipler thought that this boy was the one who was making noise. So he yelled at him, or he said, why are you making noise? He said something. He says, then he realized that it wasn't this boy. He accused the wrong kid. So he wanted to ask for mechila. But he wasn't bar mitzvah yet. So he wasn't capable of giving mechila. So the Stipler kept track of who the boy was, found out when he was coming bar mitzvah, and then came to the bar mitzvah hall, because that night he was bar mitzvah, in order to ask mechila from a 13-year-old boy who 2 years earlier he had yelled at, and he had yelled at the wrong kid. Because he took it very seriously. If you're pogay in somebody's kavod, so you have to be careful. Now, come back to more stories later. Reuven insults Shimon. He said something about Shimon. He insulted Shimon. Shimon is a tzaddik. What does Shimon decide to do? He's a tzaddik. What does he decide to do? No? He forgives Reuven. What's the halacha question? Does Reuven have to still come and ask for mechila? Does Reuven never asked Shimon for mechila? But Shimon was mochel. So does he have to go and still ask for mechila? So what do you think? Take a look at source number 7. Amnam kishenitbonin bagmar b'sof yomitz from Moadim Uzmanim from Rav Sternbuch. Nira de imchata otsir lechavero. I harmed somebody, I caused him pain. Lo sagi ba mesha eino makpid od alav umochalo. It's not enough if the Reuven hears through the grapevine that Shimon was mochalim. That's not enough. Rak chavero lo nitkaper, unless he asks for mechila. I skipped a few words. Why? Why do I still have to go and ask for mechila? I heard he's mochami. Why do I have to go ask for mechila? Say better. You're on the right track. It's not only a learning experience.
Yes, it has to have to. Maybe like the whole reason, the whole point of asking
the mechila
is not necessarily
for
what the other person
is saying,
because you
have to realize that you have part of my kapara is coming to the person and saying the three hardest words in the English language. I was wrong. And in many ways, those are the three hardest words to say. It's easy to say four words. I was wrong, but. Then it's not so hard. I was wrong, but. But to say three words is very hard. Part of the kapara process is to come along and to say to the guy, I was wrong. Is that easy? Is it easy just to look someone in the eye and say, I was wrong? I think it's very hard. And that's why you have to do it. That's part of what your kapara is about. To be able to come, not be able, to go through that almost, it's somewhat degrading, but it's certainly difficult to tell the person, I was wrong. You have to be able to go through that. And you can't get full kapara unless you do that. So it's not enough to hear that I heard the person was mochami. That's a good thing, because I would have been really embarrassed to ask them for mechila. Now I don't have to. No, now you still have to. One of the key questions that comes up with mechila is the following situation. So Reuven, we'll talk about Reuven and Shimon. Reuven spoke Lashon Hara about Shimon. Or Sarah spoke Lashon Hara about Rivka. Now normally, if I want to ask mechila for somebody, from somebody, what do I have to do? I go to the person, what do I say? I want to ask mechila. I broke their window. Or I insulted them, or I harmed them. So what do I go? I go to the person and say, I'm sorry for what I did. You tell them what you did and what you're sorry for. Now, Sarah spoke Lashon Hara about Rivka, but she didn't speak Lashon Hara about Rivka in front of Rivka. She spoke Lashon Hara about Rivka to her friends, Rachel and Leah. So now Sarah goes to Rivka, and what is she going to say? I'm sorry that... By the way, Sarah and Rivka are very good friends. I'm sorry that... That what? I spoke Lashon Hara about you. What did you say? Well, I said that you're annoying sometimes. You dress like a tramp. You have disgusting eating habits. You don't shower enough. So please forgive me. What's the problem with this scenario? Correct. In the process of trying to do tshuva for an avera, what am I going to be doing? Another avera. I'm insulting her to her face. So now what do I do? Now what do I do? If you take a look back in source number 6, Rav Sternberg quotes from Rabbi Yisrael, from Rabbi Dessler, quoting from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Umasha shamati mergon Rabbi Eliezer Dessler alagon atzadik Rabbi Yisrael Salanter zatzal. Shebir delifamim bamesha mevakesh mechavero mechila baze gufo of avera. By asking mechila, I'm going to do another avera. Shemitzar baze chavero. D'chozman shein ala yodeh shechaveiro bizoto v'dibra alav lashonara v'chadom einu mitztar klal. Rivka thinks I'm a very good friend. She doesn't know that I spoke lashonara about her. Baze gufa v'achshav kishechaveiro mevakish mimenu mechilo u'mefarik mashasa. But now I come along and say, Rivka, I'm really sorry I spoke lashonara. He said, you dress like a tramp. I said, you have horrible eating habits. You don't shower enough. You're annoying, etc. Now can you please forgive me? I'm causing another Jew to have tzar and agmas nefesh. Better not say what. What should you do? You know, it's Erev Yom Kippur, so just in case I may have said or done something that was inappropriate, just in case, so it would be Molchav. So you should say that. Because if you come and you tell them, it's only going to be worse. And in source number 5, which is above that, from Halicha Shlomo, that's from Shlomo Zalman Orbach, in the second paragraph, the two paragraphs, well, let's do the second one. In Vav, mi shesipa lashon hara al chaveru ve'en chaveru yodea mize, v'im yigalelo hadavar kedei levakesh mechilato yitzta'er hala b'shamo akach, he's going to get more upset. Lo yigalet hadavar, you shouldn't tell him what it is. So what do? You come along and you say something general. Solves the problem? A few days ago, get the following email from a former student. She had spoken lashon hara about another person. She didn't think it was so bad that this lashon hara she spoke, she thought everybody sort of knew about, but okay. So it's getting close to Yom Kippur. She met the person and she said, okay, so whatever it is, I spoke lashon hara, so I want to ask for mechila. So the person said, want me to be lawful, you tell me what you said. She's stuck. If she tells her what she said, it's going to make matters worse. But if she doesn't tell her what he said, then what did the other girl tell her? Na mocha. Necessarily. You're asking me to be mochal, but you haven't told me what you've done yet. It's a bit of a bind. I think it's a very big bind. I'm not sure. It seemed to me that she shouldn't say anything. She shouldn't say anything because I think that it's just going to make matters worse if she tells her what she said. But she's not getting mechila from this person. I think the lesson for all of us is it's not so easy to make amends. It's not like you can't press the delete button every time you say something wrong and pretend it isn't there. There's certain things that you can't fix. And therefore it's very important for us to make sure that if it's something you can't fix, so what should you make sure to do? Don't do it. It's not always so easy. But hopefully other people will be mochel. And my suggestion to you is if somebody comes to you and says, in case I said anything wrong, what did you say? Tell me. My suggestion strongly to you is don't act on it. The person's coming to you, hopefully they feel bad enough. If they feel bad enough, so just let it go. Let it slide. Yeah?
What if it was Lashon Hara that, like, by telling their praise?
What do you mean, Avak Lashon Hara? I said something really praiseworthy about you in front of somebody who doesn't like you. And therefore, their reaction was, I don't know if you have to go down that line. usually once you start. Now, if Sarah had spoken Lashon Hara about Rivka in front of Rivka, then of course what must she do? She has to remember when we were sitting around at the in the dining room in the Chadar Ochel at the school, and I said such and such. So I'm really sorry. That usually works, except sometimes even that can be somewhat problematic. Maybe it's something that happened so many years ago. But on the other hand, maybe from a Blazer Gordon story, we learned that you have to bring it up, so you give a chance for the person to be mochel. Yeah?
If you ask someone that's so general,
I don't think that even Rabbi Sol Salanta would say that you get full kapara if you ask a general thing and you get a general response. I think he'll be moda that you don't always get full kapara, but at least it's something. And the alternative is worse. No, because I think it's worse, because he says you're doing an avera when you tell them that. I think that's the problem. I think that you're going to be stuck. By the way, if it's something that was really insulting and you tell them, not only are you now insulting them, but their reaction may not be, oh, no, it was nothing. What do you mean I'm annoying? What do you mean I need to shower more often? Like, how could you say that? Doesn't mean they're going to say, oh, yeah, you know, like that's not going to delay that. All right. What's better? To ask kapara yourself or through a shaliach? Why? And else says yourself. Why is that better? What? It's more sincere. Right, it has to have an effect on you, and you have to go through the difficulties, etc. So you should ask yourself, except when? Under what circumstances? I don't know if it won't make it worse, but if you think... I don't know if he'll get upset. He won't get upset if you come, but what? Why might you send a shaliach?
Maybe he'll just say yes without thinking about it.
I don't think he won't think about it. What happens if you think that he'll tell you no, but if I send a go-between, what will the go-between able to do? He'll be able to negotiate and to appease the fellow and convince him to say yes. In other words, I should be the one, but if I think there's a better chance that the go-between will convince him to be mochel me, then I'm allowed to send the go-between. Then I'm allowed to send a shaliach. He might refuse me, but if I ask, let's say a very important person or a very mutual, very good friend or somebody who will appease him, then I can send the shaliach. Yeah.
But doesn't it sound a bit sneaky? Like, it seems like it's not, like, then what's the point of asking mechila? Is the point to actually get mechila or to kind of get yourself an extra brownie point? Or, like, avoid... A total
affair. No, to a certain extent, your goal is to be nimchal. You want to achieve mechila. Now, you're not doing it in an underhand way. Nobody's tricking anybody. But if I go, I know he's still so angry at me, he'll slam the door in my face. But if I send, if I send Reb Chaim Kanievsky to ask Mechila on my behalf, he won't slam the door in Reb Chaim Kanievsky's face, and Reb Chaim Kanievsky comes along and he says to him, and he says, okay.
And maybe you don't deserve Mechila then if the person's still angry at you.
Why don't I deserve? If I'm truly remorseful?
I mean, I don't know.
Like,
if you really hurt someone.
That's true.
It's not going to be genuine.
Well, we'll see. It also benefits the other person. Yeah.
Like, what does it mean? Like, because people say, like, if someone asks for forgiveness, you just...
Correct, but let's say it's a situation. Let's say it's a situation where everybody knows what happened. It's not like a hidden thing. Shimon knows what Reuven did to him. Reuven really feels bad about it, but he's not trying to pretend that I didn't do anything so bad. He says, but I know, I'm walking to Shimon's house, Shimon's going to slam the door in my face. Because I really, really hurt him. But I feel really bad. And I go to somebody, please talk to Shimon. Talk to him, convince him. I was wrong. I was impetuous. I was just angry and I lost it and I shouldn't have lost it and I was terribly, terribly wrong. It's not so much that I'd automatically receive the mechila. I did the most that I could do. I tried my best.
But that would say that in the case of, like, Gabriella says, then we would have to tell her the truth and we would have to say sorry 3 times, basically, and that's it.
No, but see, Reb Sol Salanta's point is if I tell her the truth, I'm doing an Avera. I can't achieve my mechila by causing somebody more Agmas Nefesh. That's not allowed. Okay, we're going to move on to the other perspective. And that is the person who was harmed. What should his reaction be? If you take a look at the flip side of the page. The Rambam in source number 13. Asal adam liyot achzari. What's an achzari? Cruel. You're not allowed to be cruel, v'lo yitpayes, and refuse to be appeased. Eliyenoach litzot v'kasher lechos. Be somebody who it's easy to appease and hard to anger. B'shash mevakish mimenu achote limchol mochel b'leiv shalem u'benefesh chafetza. Somebody's asking for mechila, you should grant it fully. V'afilu heitzar lo v'chata lo arbe, even if the guy really caused me a lot of harm. Lo yikam v'lo yitar. We know what nakama is. What's nakama? To revenge, or netiris, to hold a grudge. V'zeo dakam shel zera Yisrael v'liba manacha. That's the way to ask. And that's the way to respond. If somebody's really remorseful, he really comes and asks for mechila, granted and granted fully, even if he really caused you a lot of harm. And the Mishnah Berurah writes in Sif Katan Chet, based on the Rama over there, in source number 14, Lo Yeach Zarimi Limchol, says the Mishnah Berurah, according to the Gemara, Dechol HaMavir Al Midosav, Mavir In Lo Al Kol Pshav. There's a shortcut to getting Mechila from HaKadosh Baruch on Yom Kippur. It's a shortcut. Chazal tell us that if a person is ma'avir al midosav, if a person is willing to let bygones be bygones and not to hold a grudge, and is willing to say, the person harmed me and he hurt me, and I'm mochel him, and you mean it? You can't be more merciful than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's always more of a rachum v'chanun. And if I'm going out of my way to be mochel somebody who harmed me, you know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says? Then I'm mochel that person. Kol ha-mavir al midosav, if a person is mavir al midosav, he's not going to stand on his things and say, I'm not going to forgive him. If you're not like that, then a Kodesh Baruch Hu is mavir al kol pshav. Then a Kodesh Baruch Hu takes your sheet of paper with all your psha'im and presses delete. Because a Kodesh Baruch Hu is a bigger racham mechana than we are. And if he's willing to be mochel, this other guy. So how can I not be mochel him? And I want to tell you an unbelievable story. Not unbelievable. Again, Rabbi Kron's story. The story is told. It's supposedly a true story, but the made-up name of a person by the name of Feivel. He was learning one of the great yeshivas in Europe just before World War I, yeshiva in Slutsk. And he was a real top bacher in the yeshiva. A real top guy. And somebody came to the Rosh Yeshiva in Slutsk a fairly wealthy individual, and he said he's looking for a real gem for his daughter. Rosh Yeshiva suggested Feivel. The father met Feivel, who was extremely impressed with his midos and with his learning in this asmada. And Feivel became engaged to his daughter. There was another guy in Yeshiva who was jealous. This other guy thought that he's also a top guy. Why did Feivel get the shidduch? And he was so jealous that he started spreading false rumors about Feivel. Rumor like this, a rumor like that. All sorts of false rumors. Of course, what happens, rumors travel. The father, the future father-in-law, hears these rumors and he doesn't like what he's hearing, and Feivel isn't what he supposedly is. So he breaks the engagement. Feivel's devastated. Years pass. In the meantime, World War I goes through. World War I is over. And Feivel is now learning in the yeshiva in Slabodka. And he's what we call an elter bachur. He's older and still sick. The head of the yeshiva in Slabodka, the elter of Slabodka, of Nosson Svifinkel, gets a letter one. The letter is written, this is years later, the letter is written by the person who spread the rumors. He tells the whole story in the letter to the Alter of Slabodka about what happened. And it's years later, and he feels terrible remorse. He found out that Feivel was now learning in the Alter's yeshiva in Slabodka, and he wanted to ask forgiveness. But he was so embarrassed. He couldn't approach the person directly. And he figured, he'll never forgive him. So maybe if the altar comes and speaks to him, to Feivel, maybe there's a chance Feivel will forgive him. So the altar, who was extremely revered by his Talmidim, the altar was like, Tzadik is so gone. The altar calls in Feivel for a conversation. He says to him, Feivel, I understand you were once engaged. Feivel says, yeah, many years ago. What happens? Feivel tells him the story. He's engaged. At least somebody started spreading rumors. They weren't true, but the person broke the engagement. And then the altar shows him the letter. It's the person signed his name. And he feels terribly remorse. So Feivel thinks for a moment, and he says, I'm Mocha. The elder said, really? And Feivel says, yeah, I'm Mocha. It happened many years ago. Obviously, it just wasn't Bashert. It wasn't meant to be. It wasn't meant to be. So if it wouldn't have been this, it would have been something else. If it wasn't meant to be, I'm Mocha. The elder said, you really Mocha? He says, yes. Can write the person back that I'm fully mochalim. The altar gets up, he goes over to Feivel, he bends down, and he says, please give me a bracha. Feivel starts shaking. He's going to give a bracha to the altar? We understand. The altar said to me, Chazal tell us that kol ha-mavir al midosav, Mavir lo kopsha. Anybody who's willing to forgive and let bygones be bygones, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wipes the slate clean. You're Mavir al Midosa. You're a tzaddik right now. You have a clean slate in Shemayim. I want a bracha from a tzaddik. Please, do me a favor. Give me a bracha. Feivel had no choice. Little Feivel gave a bracha to the altar of Slabodka. It's a guaranteed way to achieve mechila and Yom Kippur. We want a Kadosh Baruch Hu to be malchus, and it's not easy. But Chazal taught us there's a shortcut. There's a way to do it. can come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can say, people harmed me. They hurt me. And there are consequences. But if they're remorseful and they feel bad, I'm mocha. I really am mocha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm mocha then. I feel remorseful. I did this, I did that. Hashem, the Bagan, the Gazam. Slacha, Mechala, Kata. Chazal tell us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response is, Macholach, Macholach, Macholach. We should have a Gemara Chasimah Tov. Thank you.